So Anike Dries, Sadiq and Maximilian Bauer joined the table. And we are curious to know what night and evening are you still present?
We are still up, yeah. Thanks for having us, even if it's late now.
So Anike, we are here with Maximilian because you invited him. And can you introduce him?
Yeah, Maximilian Bauer. We met in Stuttgart, where I'm from, where I grew up, where I went to the academy, and we met in the art context. He was
organizing a show. We were actually meeting us the first time because we know the same people.
Stuttgart is also not really big, the art scene is kind of small, so you run into the same people. Since we were talking about making decisions and inviting people or sharing, I took this open studio as a opportunity to invite some people. And I have to say it's like really personal choices, like people I'm having contact with, I'm interested in what they are doing, I'm sharing kind of ideas. And I think this kind of infrastructure around me, which is more private one, is also really important for my artistic work. Yeah, I also felt like this is the kind of situation which is really beautiful, which you cannot plan, with inviting people and having topics, then meeting at a place and something new is coming.
I mean, what you said for me is the point of sharing really important. You said that you shared this option, this possibility to have an exhibition here, to invite people from your former city where you lived before. And for me, the project that I'm bringing is also something about sharing. So I bring pictures from a library in Stuttgart. I mean, we had those discussions, and it's all about in which kind of world do we live right now, and how do we use that world? How do we use the options we have? And I think that's...
Yeah, but let's go back for a second. Yeah. Basically, Anike offered Air Kitchen to host a very special exhibition. Is it...
I mean, that was not clear before. That was something we figured out that would be the best way to do it. I mean, she invited and offered a space. We didn't know where it will happen. But at the end, we figured out that the kitchen, her private space, so that's not the studio, the open studio, it's a private space in front of her flat, part of her flat. We decided to have this as an open space, this private space. And I think that's for the project really important, because the library in Stuttgart rents out those pictures for private spaces only. So you go there as a citizen of Stuttgart and can borrow these pieces of art from really sometimes famous artists for €2.50. And you can have that in your own walls for 2 months almost.
So basically what happens, I mean, I am a normal citizen. I can go to the library in Stuttgart and ask, okay, I would very much like to have this work of art. I have a catalog and I choose, okay, I like this piece of art, and I ask it, and if I can borrow it and I can have it for a very low fee, which is basically the insurance, I guess, and
that's the insurance fee, right? You don't have to even ask. If it's there, you can take it with you.
Wow.
You only have to.
Like a book. And can I take everything?
You can not take everything, but you cannot. So there are two systems. There's like an online system where you can see all the pictures that you can choose. And there is the open library system where you can see by physically all the pictures. And you can walk through it and look. And from this collection, you can take everything you see, but not from the catalog they actually have.
Why? Why not?
Because they have really famous names. I mean, they have, for example, Richter's there, Gerhard Richter. And I don't know why they let not borrow you, Gerhard Richter. I think there's a reason for that. Everybody.
But they used to.
Probably. They used to, yes. Yeah. There was a time.
So basically, but I mean, this model is not unique for Stuttgart. It exists in several German cities.
Yeah, but it's quite unique in general. I mean, for us in Italy, there's not.
In Germany, I must say not.
The accessibility is really low. I mean, for 250, that's that happens barely in other cities, but it's there in Berlin. There are several systems that do that. Thing in Hamburg.
But there is also something similar in Italy, but you pay like a rent, and it's not as cheap as 250. It's like you pay something that is less than the price of a piece of art, but then it's like for 6 months.
The idea is that of a library, either you borrow books or you borrow pieces of art.
Yeah.
And it's an idea, I think, I'm not sure
That's
if I'm
true.
Right, that which was growing with the idea of Kunstverein too. That the regional artist created a public to exchange also works.
What struck my curiosity immediately was the fact that once a piece of art or an artist becomes too famous, too recognizable, too valuable, you can't have it anymore. So obviously it raises all the questions of value and what gives value to what, and obviously there are prices and markets and galleries and whatever.
I mean, we now have Rosemarie
Trockel
in
Annika's
kitchen.
That's what I wanted to say. It's strange because you would assume that's the value, the market value that stops this possibility to rent it out, but it's not, because I brought a Rosemarie Trockel. It's a one of the most expensive artists that's sold. It's a female artist. I wonder, perhaps that was also a reason that they overlooked it, that they oversee it, and that they're not so interested. But it's obvious that they do not want you to borrow out really famous, expensive names. They stop that. And but it's, there's not a really consequent strategy behind it.
And can you easily move it? Can you easily take them out of Germany or not?
No. They didn't want me to do that. I hope nobody from the library in Stuttgart listens to the radio show right now.
Extra territory German place here.
I'm on my way to my flat in Stuttgart, actually.
Okay. But let's say I have this beautiful piece of art in my house, and my son decides to draw or like to use pencils or to use it like a white paper to make. What happens? I mean, it's...
They don't write too much about it, and I don't know if... That's an insurance fee you pay. You pay €2.50, and they call it insurance fee. So I think that should be covered.
And they're all protected. They have glasses or plexi. It's not that you have a paper in your hand.
Yeah,
they are framed. They are
you only can
protected.
Borrow the framed pictures. It's important to say, yeah. If he draws on the plexi, I mean, that's not a problem. But even, I mean, you can get them out there if you want, if you really want to get the papers out, that's possible. But I mean, you should not destroy it. And you sign this contract that says you are not allowed to touch the inside of the frame. So if you would do that, you would destroy the piece and you would have to pay for it.
And usually they are mostly they are paperworks. I mean, they are not big canvases.
No. Usually they have prints. I mean, that's cheap to buy, and that's not so rare, so it's not unique. But the Rosemarie Trockel, for example, it's a unique picture. Yeah.
So what happened? You went to the library and you just took them. How many? And how is the curatorial approach to this collection? You go through the archive, you go through the catalog.
The last decision was Maximilian's decision, which pieces he would bring. But I think for me we were talking about it, like what is the criteria for renting out the pieces for the exhibition here, or for having them in my kitchen even. I don't know if it's really an exhibition. I think it's more a trigger. It's more like, there are like, I think there are two things which were interesting for me. The one thing was really the crossing border, the renting out the stuff or lending the stuff and bringing it to Italy. And the other thing was the discussion I had with Maximilian before or around this project, the main discussion, and for renting out the criteria for renting out the pieces, I went to the internet library and there were no pictures, so I just had the titles, and I was like putting some words, just not random, but putting some words, and we're trying, we're looking what I find. And he did then, went to the library, did photos, sent it back to me. And
the main topic was about borders, mainly.
Yeah.
I mean, that was where are borders in our society,
yeah.
And why is it not allowed to bring pictures from Germany to Italy, and why do we even create borders? And I mean, there's also a political topic right now, very important, about borders and about illegal stuff. I mean, immigrants coming to Europe, and we are, I mean, that was our main discussion.
Yeah.
We talked mainly about the situation. What can we do? How do we act with that? How do we
handle borders? I mean, when borders are really becoming borders, and is there a way to cross the borders and to find like these little holes, which Maximilian found by finding or using this opportunity to lend stuff and then lending more and making your own exhibition out of it. This is not something the library was planning or was offering. It was, but they gave the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, they criticized that. They do not want you to make a name out of it. You know, I come here to a famous institution and show famous artists' work, and yeah, I make my name of it. They criticized that.
But it was not, I mean, it was not what the exhibition was about.
No,
it's not about the big names, and it's not about...
it's about this option of sharing.
Yeah.
But they would criticize, you know, they would make a good idea of showing something really interesting and nice and something that's valuable for also other cultures and other places.
I think it's like more than sharing. I mean, we had it before, it's like even this to multiply it. To have this opportunity and to multiply it, and you multiply it by inviting people, you multiply it by using these opportunities and making something more out of it.
So that was an important point for me, to be with the pictures in the kitchen this today. You know, I tried to talk intensively to the people who were interested, and I took their interest and talked about all the topics Annika and I talked about, and I explained them the criteria of the library, and I explained them about the project of the library, but I also talked about immigrants with them, because that was so important to get the circle done. It's about sharing at the end, and what do we share, and we decide what we share and how we share stuff. We make that.
And what was the reaction?
I mean, you know,
I'm bringing the
discourse.
That's
the Villa Romana. I mean, you talked earlier about that. The people who come here, they are not... not interested. They are very interested into art. They know a lot about art. They are interested in topics that are not mainstream topics. So they were also open for it. It was a really great experience. And what Annika said, that we meet multipliers, people who multiply this idea. That's what I felt. I talked to people that understood what I tried to do, and that think that's something they could also do. They could start here, I think that there was a power for them that they got, that they want to create something new with. And that's what I liked. I mean, but that's unique. I mean, that's unique at an institution like the Villa Romana.
In which terms do you talk about borders? As like borders are as walls, borders are productive spaces, as fields of tensions. We know, I mean, I think it's clear that it's not just a line.
I mean, you cannot talk about borders and just like look at borders as borders. I mean, like, it's like you said, like a really wide field. And when we are talking, we're getting into these fields, and we are like exploring these fields of borders also. And but of course, I mean, like really building borders, fences, walls, it's really present right now. It's really present even if we are not building walls. I mean, there are walls and there are these fences, but they are still like really walls. They are really walls, and even if it means that that it's built up politically, with decisions, with
I think borders are perhaps not always, but I would say always about property and about identities built upon properties.
Yeah, of course, but I mean, there is this quite interesting Italian scholar, is called Sandro Mezzadra, and he wrote a couple of years ago a book titled Borders as Methods, mm-hmm. in which he goes deep into the discourse of the time dimension of borders, how borders are very connected to the way you filter natural fluxes, not only in space but also in time. The way people can't work, can access the market, can buy things, can sell things, can do nothing for months and months and years. And but you also have nice lectures of the border as productive space. I mean, you don't you create subjectivities through borders. Me, that I live in this space, and you, that you are waiting to be in this space. So it's, of course, it's very controversial, and the term itself, border, is very polysemic. So border, like frontier, that is almost a positive way of reading the experience of the border, like the West frontier in the US in the past, or. But for sure, the proliferation of borders is something that is quite known. No? I don't know if you know the Guardian platform. I mean, it's a map. It's a very interesting website where you can see all the walls being built or already built around the world. And it's incredible. Some of them are almost unknown, but they are there. And of course, the most famous are the Pakistan-Indian wall, the of course the Palestinian, the West Bank, or the Mexican with the U.S. and but many, many others. So it's maybe because of the flux and the movement of immigrants is now bringing back the discourse of borders inside Europe until. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it was a matter of the borders of Europe
expanding.
The Europe and the rest of the world. Now is it the borders inside Europe, and is something you have to cope with.
I think it opens really, you know, a lot of questions to think about the borders, and it's good always, you know, to continuously question that, and it brings me back also to Anike, to your work, to one of the works you've been showing today in your open studio, because when you showed me to me, you said, "Oh yeah, wow, what a lot of data," and basically it's just we ignore, you know, we sometimes we, you know, we hide behind datas or numbers, or but then in the end it's, you know, they mean people, they mean stories, they mean works. I mean, so many things. So it's it's really necessary to constantly question this notion.
What I can say about this about the data or the presentation in my studio, I mean, it's a work and it's not a work because actually it's an open studio, and I kind of wanted to open my studio for people to have like an idea of. Give them an idea about my work and what I'm dealing with, but and the data was like one thing which was really present and every day present, although I'm here in the Villa Romana and everything is totally fine. I mean, it's such this beautiful place, and still there's the media, and still there's my laptop, and still there's this this confrontation with these topics, with what is happening in Germany right now. And this is also really strange to deal with it just by the media, just by sitting in the kitchen at my laptop and looking like through a window and still far away, but it doesn't feel far away. And I mean, even in Italy, it's a big, big topic. And what I was trying to do with the data was more a way of finding, trying to understand what this data means, because there's like this flood of numbers, and the numbers are not put in a relation to something else. I mean, this, it's just a number. What does the number really mean? The media cannot really tell me. And I was handling the data, try to understand what is happening, but then also trying to put it in a relation, in a visual relation, which is really simple and is far away from my experience, but helping me to find a way to understand it.
You know that there is something that Massimo Ricciardo, who's one of the other artists, invited for the Open Studios this morning. He was telling me about a project he's working on in this period, and is working on a corpus of simple props found on the boats of leftovers in the boats, and he told me that he asked the tribunal of Siracusa in Sicily to show these objects, and he told me that he has hundreds of SIM cards. Can you imagine the amount of data, but also the amount of stories inside that little objects that have been lost, that have been left?
But I must just shortly interrupt, because today on German radio, on Deutschlandfunk, I heard a very interesting interview with a guy who is doing the human traffic from Istanbul with all his network and so. And the reporter said that during their conversation, and that was, I don't know, half an hour, he was already destroying 2 SIM cards for hiding identities, not leaving traces, for human traffics.
Yeah, for him, but for the others.
Yeah, it's just about media and...
Yeah, it's just about hiding or destroying or keeping information.
Or protecting.
Losing,
protecting, yeah. I mean, it's really hard to break it down. I mean, there's no solution. We can...
But it's a long discussion.
It's a long discussion, yeah. And I think it's really important to keep it up. And
I think that's really the main thing, to keep it up and to recognize that we are all subjects. You talked about borders in relation to subjects, and what I think is so interesting about art that we recognize so well that we are subjects, but we refer to object. So we build up a common sense, and I think that's what we have to recognize all the time. If we are confronted with borders, whatever that means, if they are built by us on our own, because we decide to do not things that somebody told us not to do, to have the border of fear that our government or the news tell us to have because some people come in this country, you know, that's also a kind of border.
Of course.
So, and when I look at Anika's drawings, for example, and see all those data reduced to little square on a whole paper of squares, what is the relation between the whole population of Europe and the immigrants? That makes me feel like, yeah, we are rich, we have these options to do, and why is everybody telling us? That's
but
not possible.
I have to say that
it's
even
not
this.
I mean, German politics switched completely. Now Merkel is saying since 2 weeks or 10 days, we'll do it, we'll manage it, we are flexible, and so on.
I told Anike that all the time, but still, there are so many people in Germany that don't believe what Merkel is saying. I mean, that's not so problematic to not believe what she's saying. But I think it's important to say it, because I believe in the people that do something. And I know many people who do something. And I mean, Austria and Germany opened their borders today, or not opened their borders, they told Hungary to take them over. You know, they told them to not rely on the...
And I must say that media politics changed a lot in yeah. Germany during the last That's weeks. True. And now when you listen either to radio or to television, they're all talking about, yes, you are welcome, and they're interviewing people who give German courses for free, or at Humboldt University, all refugees are invited to inscribe as a guest lecturer, a guest student. There is a big movement, and that's something. I mean, it's... I'm happy about this aspect, although there are many political things very ambiguous, of course.
What do you think? Why it's happening? Why
I must say, I don't know. I mean, usually I say it again and again. I'm really, really, really happy if there is an independent press media, as it is still in Germany, but not in many other European countries. On the other hand, there is a certain media hysteria, which really drives me crazy too. And they are changing subjects, and not only on political level. I mean, it was Greece before, but then it was, I don't know, some minister who wrote a false thesis or whatever, and then they're really hunting a subject.
Yeah.
That's a little critical too.
Yeah, I also wanted just to say, like with these drawings, I know it's also like really dangerous because it's another reduction of a bit bigger problem. So these drawings is like far away from representing what's going on. It's just like a little piece which is like on the way, like these little steps trying to deal with it or to put it in a relation and all this stuff. But the actual problem is really a structural problem, and it's a systematic problem. And I think, like, even what's happening now with like welcoming the refugees, it's something that's happening now. But there has been discrimination in Germany before, and just by passing laws which is saying the anti-discrimination law, for me it seems like there is kind of a border erased. Like we make something illegal or legal, but before it really changed, it takes a lot of time. And
I mean, now there are also economical reasons that they are welcoming refugees.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a president of the German Industry Association and saying we have 500,000 places which are not occupied, and German demography is...
And there are always economical reasons, and almost like also the data is used to justify this economical plus for refugees. It doesn't seem like if there's no economical reason, we can just like be humans and treat ourselves like humans. There must be this economical reason.
Yeah, but that's why they close completely against Kosovo, Albania, Macedonia.
Yeah.
They are only poor.
They're not fashionable enough. The most important thing, I mean, for me about tonight is just like this urge of, you know, keeping asking questions and keeping, you know, from so many different perspectives. And it is actually what I saw from all the artists involved into this 2015 Open Studios. So it's like keeping, you know, asking questions and, you know, asking yourself about, you know, where you are and where are the people and the works around you. So it's not giving anything for granted.
I think it's what I just wanted to say. It was actually a nice ending, but it's of course kind of easy to talk about this stuff if it's having this presence. I mean, it's happening right now, and it's there, and it's probably far more difficult to have like this asking questions if it's not that obvious, if it's not that present in the media, but it's still there.
Yeah, and it's not a question only about thinking, but also about doing. And we had this discussion in summer too, how do we relate really to the people nearby?
Yeah.
And how do we act as an institution? And all these questions are still open.
Thank you very much, all of you. Thank you for joining us in this very last conversation of this Open Studios. And in the back, we have been listening to the Soul Key going on for quite a while. So I think that we can just join them in the last part of their concert. And again, thank you very much and enjoy the night.
Good night.
Good night.